All right, we're at Joshua chapter 15 and 16 tonight. Let me review just real quickly with you a couple of things. By the end of chapter 11, Israel had control of the land. Not all of it. There's still Canaanites there scattered all through, right? But they've kind of come in and they're in control. They're in control of the promised land. Chapter 12 is a roster of kings defeated in the conquest. Chapter 13, the land on the east side of the Jordan is given to the tribes that would be on the east side of the Jordan. Chapter 14, as Judah is about to receive its allotment, Caleb steps up and reminds them there were some promises made to him. And he was a faithful man, sort of a reintroduction to Caleb. You haven't heard about Caleb since he was a spy some 40 years ago. And now he steps up and says, oh, but wait, remember, there were some promises made to me. Caleb, as he was a spy, minimized his problem and magnified his God. That's a good way to remember Caleb. He minimized the problem, he magnified God, and God was honored. God was honored. He was very pleased with Caleb. You want to know how to please God? Minimize the problem and magnify our God. He can handle anything. And when we have faith in Him for that, in our little situations, because that's what they are, little situations, God is honored and we will be blessed. So when it's time to divide the land, Caleb steps up. Remember the promises. In the next several chapters here, beginning tonight, 15 and 16, the boundaries of the land are actually described as it's divided to Israel. And contained in these descriptions that might be otherwise rather boring to us because we don't know the places named there. But in the midst of all of those names, there are some wonderful little lessons. So we're going to try to pick them up without reading the whole chapter. Try to pick up some lessons. Some of the lessons, in particular the ones we'll look at tonight, are repeated or they're alluded to in the New Testament. Particularly in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews talks of this land of rest. How they entered into rest. And some were not able to go in. Do you remember why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. So obedience and faith brought rest. That's one of our lessons tonight that we'll see. I call tonight's message Giant Dowry. What's a dowry? It's the price of a bride. You'll see why when we get there. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 15. The boundaries of Judah are described here. It says, this then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward was the utmost part of the south coast. You see coast all through these chapters. Think of coast not as the sea coast, but the boundary. Okay, it was the coast as in boundary. Skip down to verse 12, and the west border was to the great sea and the coast thereof. This is the coast of the children or the boundary of the children of Judah round about according to their families. And it's described there in those verses that we just skipped over. You saw here that portion that was given to Judah down in the south and west, the green portion that we had here on the map tonight. Verse 13 of chapter 15, Caleb's conquest is recorded here for us. It says, unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave part among the children of Judah. So Caleb's inheritance, his specific inheritance, was within the allotment given to Judah. According to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron? Hebron. So here we see the faith of Caleb. I just mention it again. The faith of Caleb, who had believed God and his promises to him for how many years? 45. 45 years this man held on to these promises, knowing that someday he would stand before Joshua, he would stand before God's leader, and that this promise would be fulfilled. He would receive what God had promised. Most 85-year-olds want to talk about past victories, right? And past conflicts that they have. We like to tell our old war stories. Caleb didn't, he was not interested in the past. He was looking for new stories. and new victories. Don't you wish we could all be like that? Just as we grow older, don't retire, don't give up, don't quit. Keep on serving the Lord as long as He lends us breath. I was talking to Lorna, and she said, well, I can't do much anymore. And I hear a lot of older people say that. And I said, Lorna, you can do one of the greatest things that mankind is capable of. You can sit and glorify God in your heart and your mind, and you can pray. That's the highest calling of man, to glorify God. And you have more time for that. And I think it encouraged her. She can do that, and she can pray for us and pray for the work here, as we all can. When we can't do things physically, we can get involved spiritually and pray and walk with the Lord and encourage people and be edifiers. We can do things for the Lord. Caleb had that spirit. Of course, he had a lot of physical strength too. God preserved his strength. He had the strength at 85 that he had when he was 40. It's amazing. Praise the Lord for men like Caleb. He would not stop until he had received everything that God had promised. He's not giving up. He's not quitting. He's not gonna forget about it. God promised it. I want it. I want that mountain, he said. Here we also see in this passage the faithfulness of God. God kept his promise. He did exactly what he said he would do. The faithfulness of God, who had promised 45 years ago that he would give these particular cities the land. The exact land that Caleb had trodden on was given to him. God said it would be, and it was. He said it in Numbers chapter 14. Listen to how the Lord said, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." It'll be his possession. He was given preferential treatment because he was a man of faith, and God is a faithful God who promised. Faith, and I'm talking about the kind of faith modeled by Caleb here, it's necessary for everything. If we want to be blessed of God, we'll have to exercise faith. Everything he wants us to have, everything he wants to deliver to us, I've said before, it's received by faith. You have to trust him for it. He's the rewarder of them that, what? Diligently seek him. And so we seek him. So model of that faith is Caleb here in the Old Testament. Necessary for everything. Everything from salvation to moving mountains and everything in between. The scripture says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." One of these days I want to bring a message on that verse. That is a wonderful passage to think about. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire," that means mature, grown up, wanting nothing. God wants to bless us. "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." But it'll have to be a man of faith. It's in that same passage in Romans, or in James chapter 1, 2 to 5. Faith and faithfulness. We see them here, don't we? The faith of a man and the faithfulness of God. They're mutually inclusive. You've heard of mutually exclusive. If you have one, you can't have the other. It's kind of hard to find somebody with faith who does not also, somewhere close by, you'll see in the scriptures, the faithfulness of God. Faith is rewarded by God's faithfulness. It's because this faith that we're talking about has a faithful object. The object, of course, being our faithful God. Our faithful God. What does it mean to be faithful? He's worthy of our trust. God is worthy of our believing his promise. We've been alive a lot of years. None of us has ever inhaled and there wasn't air there. You know who gave us that air? God did. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's always going to be God. The God that we know from the Scriptures. He's indeed met every need I've ever had. I could tell you stories. You could probably do the same thing about how faithful God has been in my life, in my family's life. I want us to examine the evidence of his faithfulness in the life of Caleb. Look at verse 14. Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmahi, the children of Anak. They were giants, and we know that they were not gentle giants, right? We know from the Scriptures that they were champions in pagan armies, these men. They were fighting men. In addition to their size, these giants had the home court advantage. Caleb was going to take their city from them. All three of them were home, and their children, and the other mighty men of that area were there, and Caleb is going to take their city. They have the home court advantage, and 85-year-old Caleb is going to fight uphill into their city and take it from them. Brothers and sisters, the power of God was made available to defeat even the strongest foe with the weakest vessel committed to him. An 85-year-old man took the giant's city. It's pretty amazing if you stop and think about it. The same is true in our spiritual battles. We don't have to be giants. We don't have to be strong in and of ourselves, right? It's the Lord's battle, and it will be fought in his strength. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, has he not? And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty and base things of the world. And things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to nothing or naught the things that are. Why? So that no flesh can glory. So that no flesh can glory. God will not allow us to be the heroes. That's not his plan. The strength is the Lord's. God uses weak vessels. You say, well, I can't do anything. Well, you're exactly what we're looking for. Somebody who knows they can't, but believes that God can. But we live with a faith that stays at times for long periods of time in its low ebb, like David this morning, right? Faithlessness is a sin. God said to David, you will reign as my king. And David said, I'll be killed by Saul running in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, don't you want to see God do everything he could possibly do here at Corinth Baptist Church? Everything God wants to do. Why can we not see it? The only thing that can hold us back, the only possible way we cannot accomplish it, is if we have sin in our life or we will not believe God. So we confess our sin, get ourselves cleaned up. One person in the whole lot, one little bit of leaven in the lump would do what? It'll spoil the whole lump. So it could be my sin that keeps us back. It could be your sin that keeps us back. Let's make sure we're clean. And then let's believe God. Believe God as we put our tracts out into the displays, as we hand people the tracts and the brochures, as we speak a word in season, as we mail out these mailbox clubs, as we write the articles and put them in the newspaper, and as we provide special music for Christmas and opportunities for the young people of the neighborhood to come together. You think God won't bless that? He will if we believe and if we're clean vessels. God can use us. God used an 85-year-old man to kill the giants. Why didn't he use one of the younger guys? Because he had a man who believed him, who exercised his faith. He minimized his problems. He magnified his God always and in every circumstance. You and I can do that. There's nothing that God cannot do. And how hard is it for him? God said, let there be light. And there it is, light. How hard was that? And God spoke everything that is into existence from nothing. The Bible tells us that he can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. There's nothing that God can't do, and therefore there's nothing that God can't do with me. If he just wills it so. I want us to know that we can. What should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah, but we're a little number. God doesn't need a big number. God doesn't need a lot of people to do what he wants to do at Corinth, Maine. Just a few. Just one. One man, one woman, dedicated, given wholly to him to do like Caleb. Like Caleb. Sure, I'll take that city. Sure, I'll take that city. Verse 15, and he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirath Sephar. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirath Sephar and taketh it, to him will I give Aksaw. How would you like a daughter named Hacksaw? Well, here it is, Aksaw, my daughter to wife. It's not uncommon in those days for a man to be rewarded, a brave man to be rewarded for victory by the daughter of a ruler. David received a wife from Saul, Michal, her name. Aksaw she must have been some prize, because in verse 17, the man stepped up. His name is Othniel. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, so this is Caleb's nephew, took it, and he gave him Aksaw, his daughter, to wife. Othniel, you ever heard his name before? He was the first judge of Israel in the book of Judges, this very man. Caleb's nephew, it says he took it. He took this land. How about that for a love story? She must have been some prize, huh? Verse 18, it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me the south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. So the first part, verse 18, Aksaw speaking to Othniel. Othniel, who took Hebron, killed the giants, and then he's defeated by this young damsel, his wife now, Aksaw. A man who whipped three giants, then he was conquered by Caleb's daughter. And then Aksaw, after she got the land, apparently Othniel did ask Caleb for this land for his daughter. And then afterwards, she asked him for some water. I need springs to go with my land. And she received those as well. Perhaps the most valuable piece of property inherited by Caleb. Perhaps. I want to stop to say this. I didn't have any daughters. I like little daughters. That would have been fun. And I want to say to you, dads, love your daughters. And I want to say to the daughters, if you have a dad who loves the Lord, then you need to listen to him. Listen to him, because he loves you more than life. We got one here this evening. He loves you more than life. Is that true, dads? And he's your best friend. And he'll be your best friend when you're 18 and when you're 21. And he can protect you from making mistakes that you never get over. Listen to your loving dad. He's the best friend you'll ever have. The same is true of young men, isn't it? Their moms and their dads, they're the best friends that you could possibly have. Let's go on chapter 15 and verse 20. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. And the utmost city of the tribes of the children of Judah toward the coast of Edom southward were Kabzeel and Eder and Jager. Skip down to verse 54. And Humta and Kirath Arba, which is Hebron, and Zior, nine cities with their villages. So this is the boundaries. They're describing the boundaries of the allotment here of Judah. Within their inheritance was Hebron, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried. Mamre, do you remember? Associated often with Hebron. Perhaps that's why spiritually discerning Caleb wanted this particular piece of property. Spiritual heritage? You think it meant anything to him that the patriarchs were buried there in his... I don't know. It doesn't say that he did. But we sing God of our fathers, or faith of our fathers. You know those songs. Perhaps the generations that we're raising need to know more of their godly heritage. They need to hear more from the generation who's raising them. My parents encouraged me when I was growing up to have friends, lots of friends. Well, I went to school back in the 70s. I graduated in 1977 from high school. For some of you, that was just a little bit ago, and others, that's a long time ago. That was many moons, 77. But it was in the South, there was the integration. The standard of education really dropped. And there were a lot of riots at school. There were a lot of drugs at school. There was a lot of immorality at school. Our school had smoking sections for the kids to go to. It was, I'll tell you a horror story sometime about it. Education was zip. I didn't have many friends at school. I enjoyed getting out of school every day about 12:15. I left school and went to my job at 12:15 on an industrial cooperative training program. I missed 36 days a year because that's how many you could miss and not fail. Because when I went to school, I could sleep all day and make the honor roll. It was a terrible, terrible situation. So I didn't have many friends. You know who my friends were when I was growing up? Adults. I had some of the best friends. And I loved to be with them, and they loved to see me coming, because what they couldn't do physically, I could help them with. And I had a lot of good adult friends. I recommend it. I recommend adult friends. And get close to people who can do you the most good. A spiritual heritage. Maybe that was important to Caleb. That's why he liked this particular land. And you know, I believe the generations that we're raising on our shirt tails here, they need to hear more from the generation that's raising them up, and they need to hear more about the generation who raised them up. If they knew what it cost... If I could only know what it cost my grandfather to know and love Jesus Christ in his day, maybe it would be more important to me. Well, if that's true in our generation, how much more true is it in the generation that's behind us? They need to hear us talk about the Lord and our spiritual heritage and what it cost for them to be able to carry their Bible in a store or in a church or be here tonight. If they knew the price that was paid, the price, what it cost for us to enjoy our spiritual freedom, our religious liberty. Verse 63, Judah's got its land. It says, "And as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day." Good or bad? It's terrible. They could not drive them out. Ha. Right? What do you mean you couldn't drive them out? What does it mean? They didn't have faith. God took the land from the giants for Caleb, an 85-year-old man. What do you mean you can't drive the Jebusites out of Jerusalem? Faithlessness, right? And faithlessness is sin. That's what we've been saying on Sunday mornings. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faithlessness leads to the sin of disobedience. Disobedience cannot be blessed. And partial obedience is disobedience. This is partial obedience. Disobedience. Disobedience forfeits blessing. Now you think about it a minute. God cannot bless you. He would be accused of blessing your sin. So if we're living in sin, He must chasten us to be in keeping with His character. He can't bless us in our sin. So why do we sin? Why do we live in our sins? The lower part of the city would be captured by Judah in the time of Judges. In Judges chapter 1 and verse 8, you have the children of Judah going in and capturing the lower part, the city of David, the lower part of the city. But they lost it right back. Still later, David, a man after God's own heart, who would be the first king of Israel. Remember, that's later yet. We're just getting into the promised land. They lived through the time of Judges, and then they demanded a king. The first one was Saul, and the second one was David. So it's a ways out here. David would someday enter into Jerusalem, and he would take it from the Jebusites. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Chapter 16, verse 1, verses 1 to 4. The boundary is of Ephraim and Manasseh, who are whose sons? Joseph's sons. It says, and the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho under the water of Jericho on the east to the west to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel, and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along the borders of Arki and Ataroth. I'll just stop right there. We don't know the names of these places. They don't describe much for us. But this was the whole portion that was given to Joseph's children, the largest portion of the promised land went to these. I said before that Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob, right? And when Jacob died, or just before Jacob died, he called all of his sons together and he was pronouncing blessing, or as it turned out, a curse on some. Here's what he said of Reuben. He said, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, and went up to his couch. He went into one of his father's concubines. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph. And that's what we see in the inheritance, in the allotment at the promised land. The sons of Joseph got Reuben's double portion. If you don't want God's blessing, somebody after you will take it. Right? I think of Corinth Baptist Church. How long's the Lord going to be gone? I don't know. I wish He'd come back tonight. That would be wonderful to me. I would be totally happy and contented with that. Others maybe not. I don't know. But I do long to see the Lord. It won't be anything to look back at. We won't regret that He came now. No matter what our stage of life, if we know Him, we'll be glad to be with Him. And I'm looking forward to that. But if the Lord tarries, and Corinth Baptist Church is here 200 more years, do you guess it'll ever be blessed more than it will be blessed while you and I are sitting in the pews here? Will there be a time after us when God's blessing is poured out on the people here because they were more sincere than we are? They were more zealous for the Lord. They were more diligent in His work than we are. They exercised more faith than we can exercise. I hope not. I want to be like Caleb. Lord, I want everything that You are willing to do for a church. I want to see it happen here. Don't you? I want to see it happen now. Don't wait. We're the only things that can get in the way. Now, how large is the church going to be? I don't know. It may be 5 more than we are tonight. Maybe 500 more. I don't know. But I do know this. I want everything that God will do for a church to be done for this church. I don't want to get in His way. I want Him to be able to pour out His grace and mercy by the bucketfuls. Want that with me. Desire that and pray for that with me. Let's be obedient. Let's keep our sins confessed up. Let's keep ourselves pure so that we can see God's blessing here. If we don't want God's blessing, somebody in the next generation might. And I hope if we don't get it, they do. But I'd sure like to see it, wouldn't you? How many times will we spurn or forfeit the grace of God before we realize that life is miserable without it? There's no purpose to live except His purpose. Not really. Chapter 16 and verse 5, you have Ephraim's portion. And the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Atroth-Adar unto Reth-Horon, the upper. Skip down to verse 9. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. So Manasseh has this big square plot on the east and another one on the right, on the west side of the Jordan River. And Ephraim has a little chunk out of the corner of that, Ephraim's inheritance. That's what's described here. Verse 9 tells us that Ephraim's inheritance was within Manasseh's. Look at verse 10. And they drove not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. They made servants of them. They paid taxes and so forth. Good or bad? It's bad. God warned them about this. What did He say would happen if they didn't get rid of those wicked people? They'll turn your hearts from God. Did it happen? Yeah, it did. They committed spiritual adultery with them. The children of Israel, they kept on worshiping Jehovah, but they just added the other gods, like the Canaanites. And the Canaanites even started to worship Jehovah, some of them. They just added Jehovah to their, what do you call it, Parthenon?
Pantheon.
Ephraim disobeyed. One sin led to another sin, led to another sin, and the tribe fell. Children of Israel fell because cancer starts as one cell, but it doesn't stay there, does it? It expands, and so it did, and the whole nation was destroyed. Cast out of the land for years and years. Brothers and sisters, got any little sins? Any little sins with you that you don't want to talk about? They're the ones, those little sins that'll keep God from blessing your life and our life and work together. Got to be clean. Television doesn't help. The internet doesn't help. Social media is not going to be a help to us. The media, they're not on our side. There's so many tempting, tantalizing things out there that draw us away from the Lord. Any little sins in your life? Things you don't want to talk about? Tonight we've learned that faith is required, and faith requires a faithful object. God is that object of our faith. There's nothing that God cannot do by just willing it so. That means there's nothing He can't do with me. If I'm clean and willing and I exercise faith. Girls and guys, dad's your best friend. He can protect you from mistakes that you'll never get over. Sometime I'd like to talk about that a little more. My sister ran off and got married. She married a guy who'd been divorced twice already. He was abusive and mean, and he would take the kids' toys and throw them in the fire to see if they'd go after them. That's the kind of thing he did, just ruthless. My dad cried when she ran off and got married. We did everything. We prayed. We made phone calls. We did everything we possibly could. My dad was my sister's best friend. He would have died for her. Listen. Listen to your parents. Perhaps the generation that we're raising right now would love the Lord more if they knew a little more about us. The generation raising them. If they heard a little more from us. If they knew what it cost for their grandfather and their great-grandfather to call the name Jesus. If they knew what it cost for us to have Corinth Baptist Church today. Unlike any other nation in the world, we are. We learn that faithlessness is a sin, and faithlessness leads to the sin of disobedience. And God will not be true to His character if He blesses us in spite of disobedience. If you don't want God's blessing, the next person in line will probably take it. How many times, we ask, do we spurn or forfeit the grace of God before we realize that life without the grace of God would be pretty miserable? And then lastly, one sin left alone will grow and multiply and destroy, because the wages of sin is death. Imagine picking up all of those little tidbits in the description of the borders of the land of Israel. God wrote this book. God wrote this book. And every page is packed with information, with food for our souls. We need to give good attention to these things. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the opportunity to share these thoughts, though scattered perhaps at times. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege of standing here tonight and, in a sense, Lord, sharing my heart, and I believe Yours. I pray, Father, for myself that I would be what You want me to be. Father, that You would do whatever it takes that I might hear You say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, help us as a church that we would please You well. Help us not to play with sin. Lord, for those sins that we confess too often, we pray for victory. Make us serious, Lord, about what You're serious about. Lord, help us to experience here at Corinth Baptist Church everything that You want to do for a church and everything that You want to do through a church in these last days. Father, we thank you in advance for what you'll do. As we obey your word and exercise faith in your promises, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.